Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, you guys will get in your seats. I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game time.
Well, good afternoon there, family and friends. This is M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Culture Parent Network. I'm here to bring you another wonderful show. If you have an opportunity, pull out the pens and pads and paper. Of course, you know I'm going to provide you some information that can be helpful to you and your student athlete, your child, parents, as we like to say, our children, as they prepare themselves to play sports at the next level. What we're going to talk about here today is confidence. Confidence. How can parents support their child's confidence level? Very important, parents. Listen up. I'm not going to bring you this information again. I'm going to give it to you from the perspective of an expert. And what I mean by that is simply that I have a very special piece that I'm going to share with you from an expert, Dr. Patrick Cohen and his wife, Lisa. And these folks study our children on a regular basis to make sure that their confidence level stays at an all-time high. So, as a result, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to share it, my man, Mr. Keith Wright, with you. And then from there, we're going to go on to listen to Dr. Patrick Cohen. Sorry, we're not going to have the opportunity to call in today because this is a pre-recorded show. And this is information that I think you're going to spend most of your time taking notes. All right. So on that note, here we go. Parents Culture Parent Network coming at you. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great, and my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Okay there, family, as my man Keith Wright said, as usual, he's making smart cool. Let's go on to our show.
In this Ultimate Sports Parent and Kids Sports Psychology audio program, 10 Confidence Busters for Your Young Athletes and How to Overcome Them, award-winning parenting writer Lisa Cohn interviews mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn about the top reasons kids lose confidence in sports and how parents can help boost their confidence. Be sure to visit Kids Sports Psychology to learn cutting-edge mental game strategies, including video, audio, and articles to improve young athletes' confidence and success at www.kidssportspsychology.com.
Why is confidence so critical?
Why is confidence so critical? Simply put, without confidence,
your kids can achieve their potential. What is confidence? How does it look and feel in the gym, on the court, or on the field? Jonathan, one young athlete, says feeling confident gets him in the zone. You know exactly what you're doing, and nothing can stop you. The adrenaline takes over, and you feel like nothing can go wrong, he says. In short, when kids feel confident, they have a lot of self-confidence. They believe in their abilities. They're free of worries, distractions, and doubts, which makes it easier to feel totally immersed in their sport. Some kids are confident because they're naturally talented athletes. They're the fortunate ones. Others derive confidence from practice and mastering their skills. Here's what some athletes say helps them feel more confident. I feel confident because my coach chooses me to play every minute of the game in soccer, says Allison, age 12, who also plays basketball. Also, the experience of playing so much gives me confidence. As I play more, I become more confident. I feel confident if I'm winning and doing better than anyone else, says Noelle, age 13. To feel confident, I have to practice and stretch before races. I'm nervous, but when I get in the water, I feel good and confident if I do my routine first, says Caitlin, age 14. First of all, sports parents and coaches should help young athletes understand that they create their own confidence. If kids begin a game wanting immediate results, such as getting the first hit or basket of the game, they're setting themselves up for frustration. Many athletes have a fragile sense of confidence. They need to understand that it can take years to build confidence in sports. Many athletes only feel confident when they experience immediate success, especially during a game or practice. They feel they need to score lots of goals or nab lots of rebounds. Don't let them lose confidence by worrying about achieving these immediate results in their performance. What's more, athletes need to understand that they'll be more successful if they assume full responsibility for their own confidence before competition begins. Often, athletes wait until the game starts before they decide how confident they should feel. If this is how your young athletes think, they need positive results before they feel confident. Keep in mind that confidence develops over months and years of practice and play. Remind your child about this important fact. In addition, confidence should come from within. That's why it's called self-confidence. Your kids should not have to depend upon what you say to boost their confidence on game day or what coach says to boost their confidence on game day. They should learn to take personal responsibility for their confidence.
What hurts kids' confidence in sports?
Well, as a parent, you also want to understand what busts kids' confidence in sports. Here's some quotes from kids and teens about what undermines their confidence or their belief in their abilities. I take on my team's errors, says Kevin, age 13, a baseball, hockey, and tennis player. If someone steals home base, I assume it's my fault. I'm really hard on myself. I get down on myself easily. The major problem is my parents, says Lauren, a 12-year-old who plays soccer, lacrosse, basketball, and tennis. Dad's cheering embarrasses me. Just before I shoot in soccer, he yells, pull the trigger. It's so awful. I'm naturally not good at sports, says Robbie, age 12, who fences. I don't have the right body. I'm weak, have no muscles, and can barely lift 10 pounds. I wonder if I'm going to shoot a good round of golf before I start. I doubt I can stack up to the competition. And if I'm good enough, says Erica, age 15. Generally, young athletes say they feel more confident when they have lots of successful experiences in practice and games, feel support from friends or family members, attend practices on a regular basis, perform well in practice, have access to good coaching, have access to good equipment, are fit, eat well, are mentally prepared, and believe they have strong physical abilities. Kids' confidence is linked in a large part to the kind of input they give themselves or receive from coaches, parents, or teammates. It's also affected by their past performance. Here are kids' top five confidence killers. Number one, holding high expectations for their performance. Kids with high expectations generally experience all or none thinking. They may tell themselves, I need to pitch a no-hitter, an expectation that even pro athletes wouldn't impose on themselves. When athletes have extremely high expectations, they set themselves up for feeling like they're going to fail. Number two, being a perfectionist. Perfectionists cripple their confidence by expecting to have a perfect game or throw a no-hitter, experience a mistake-free performance, or win the match 6-0, 6-0. Such accomplishments are rare in sports, but perfectionists aim for the sky. Perfectionists are hard on themselves and criticize their slightest mistakes. They analyze each performance in minute detail, focusing on their bad stance, terrible posture, or horrible attitude. They have a hard time enjoying sports because they're so determined to perform without making any errors. Number three, harboring self-doubt. Young athletes who doubt their abilities are often nervous, anxious, or fearful when they compete. That's not to say that even top athletes experience doubt at times. Young athletes whose self-doubt hurts their confidence may feel inadequate, unable to perform when others are watching, inferior to the competition, or may become hesitant when faced with adversity or opposition. Number four, holding on to negative feedback. Some athletes are particularly sensitive to negative feedback. They hold on to it, and it turns into their own negative voice inside their head. They might tell themselves, everyone thinks I stink, so I must stink. They may do this after a coach focuses only on their mistakes, when parents point out only the downside of their performance, or when teammates criticize them, failing to believe in themselves. When young athletes don't believe in themselves, they question their ability to perform. They ask themselves, did I practice hard enough this week? Or other questions like, do I have the ability to perform well in this game? Doubt is the most damaging to an athlete's confidence. For example, some young athletes doubt their abilities to execute a free throw, but still manage to make free throws. Athletes who don't believe in themselves often have defeatist attitudes and use negative labels to describe themselves, such as, I'm a choker, or I'm a poor putter. They wonder why sports is worth the effort, since the outcome will likely be failure.
What hurts kids' confidence in sports?
Well, I just discussed the top five confidence busters. Let me talk about some of the other confidence busters as well. And why are these so important? It's simple. Athletes can't achieve their potential without feeling 100% confident in themselves. Here are the other five confidence busters for sports kids. Number six, having trouble letting go of negative experiences. All athletes have been through rough times. Great athletes, however, don't let these experiences hinder their performance. They can quickly adapt and get past their mistakes, then focus on the moment. However, athletes who dwell on past mistakes often struggle with confidence issues and perform tentatively for fear of making more mistakes. For example, a skater may avoid a certain jump because last time she performed it, she fell and then scored badly on the jump. Seven, lacking confidence in one's method, technique, or mechanics. Kids and teens who don't believe in their method, coaching, or mechanics have trouble believing in their abilities. Many perfectionists think they must have perfect mechanics in order to perform well or win. When something does not feel right, they may doubt their abilities. Number eight, worrying about making mistakes. Athletes who focus too much on avoiding mistakes, avoiding errors, doubt their ability to perform well. After missing a few shots, falling down, or otherwise goofing up, they try to avoid the same mistakes. These athletes might stop shooting if they miss two shots in a row, for example. They'd rather just pass the ball off. The doubt consumes their thinking quickly. Making errors in competition is a huge confidence buster for many athletes who especially can't accept errors. They don't yet possess a stable level of confidence, long-term confidence. Their confidence instead fluctuates with every play. Number 9, experiencing nagging injuries. Unfortunately, injuries are parts of sports. When kids focus too much on the injury, they have a hard time performing their best. It can often lead to slumps. Their worries about not being 100% physically fit can cause their confidence to sink. Kids who aren't 100% physically fit may use their injuries as an excuse to stop playing their best. Number 10, experiencing a poor pre-game or pre-competition warm-up. I mentioned earlier that many athletes gain confidence from their practice and training. If they judge their warm-up harshly prior to playing, they lose confidence. They begin to think that a poor warm-up translates into playing poorly in the competition. This is called a false overgeneralization based upon their past experience. Their doubt starts to sabotage their confidence before the game even starts, and their worries become what is called self-fulfilling prophecies. Well, helping athletes manage expectations is a huge task that I take upon myself when working with young athletes. Let's begin by taking a look at John, a 12-year-old basketball player who often begins games telling himself that he has to break all his personal records and score at least 25 or 30 points or more in addition to getting 8 assists and 4 rebounds. His coach often holds similar high expectations for John, which he quickly adopts as his own. If John begins a game by losing a few balls or missing a few shots, he starts playing more tentatively, worried that he's going to make even more mistakes. He gets frustrated, then begins to try harder. He keeps trying to make perfect shots, but he feels wooden and tight. He feels like a failure because he expects so much of himself. He needs instead to play in the moment and rely more on his natural ability. Not only does John have to cope with the expectations he imposes on himself, he must deal with his coach's expectations as well. Once his coach starts pointing out mistakes or pressuring John to score more, he freezes up even more. He starts focusing on avoiding mistakes, avoiding shooting air balls, for example. Not matching his own and his coach's expectations, John quickly gets frustrated and doubts his abilities. He begins to wonder how he's ever going to block his opponent's shots. He starts punishing himself for not being in better shape or having a better shot. Instead of indulging in such negative thinking, John needs to think about his positive qualities, his strength, his coach's belief in him, his hours of practice, and his ability to get the ball in the basket in the past. Remember, if your young athlete has super high or strict expectations, fails to meet her expectations, and begins focusing on her errors, she crushes her self-confidence. So there's definitely what's called a confidence-expectation connection. John's confidence would not sink so quickly if he entered the game with no expectations about the quality of performance or scoring. John's coach and parents could help him by telling him to forget about scores and to focus on executing the plays. They should help him play in the moment. John should look at the basket and throw the ball without attempting to make a perfect shot or without trying to avoid an air ball. He should react to the target and trust himself. He should also focus on what's happening right now, not on the score, not on the win, or not on statistics. John could concentrate on nabbing rebounds or ensuring his passes are well executed. These mini goals are a much better option for him. His coach could also remind him to focus on these smaller objectives or mini goals rather than on the score of the game. As parents and coaches, you can keep an eye out for kids with high expectations. They often set unreasonably high goals for themselves, beat themselves up mentally when they don't perform up to their expectations, call themselves names like loser, choker, and wimp when they make mistakes, feel pressured to perform well for parents, coaches, peers, play it safe, and don't take risks when they get ahead of their opponents because they want to protect their lead. We call that the comfort zone. Again, parents and coaches need to help these young athletes set small, manageable goals and reward them for achieving those.
How can kids boost their self-talk?
You can boost young athletes' confidence by changing the way they think or by improving their self-talk. Sports kids often fall into a pattern of engaging in what's called negative self-talk. This means that their inner dialogue or what they tell themselves when they're playing or after making mistakes is often negative. We call it they beat themselves up. For example, they might tell themselves they're too small, too slow, or not strong enough to be good athletes. They might tell themselves that everyone hates them. Just after a poor pass, they might tell themselves the pass was a horrible one. After missing a putt, they'll tell themselves that they're the worst putter in the world. This pattern undermines kids' confidence and success in sports. It makes it hard for them to reach their potential. You, as parents and coaches, can help your child or teen overcome this negative pattern. To do this, however, you have to help them change the way they think about their performance or their abilities. Begin by identifying your athlete's positive attributes. These can include always attending practice, being physically fit, being a good team player or leader, being a smart player, have good court vision, being viewed as highly coachable, having natural talent. Here's step one. Have your young athlete identify the negative things he tells himself, especially after mistakes. List these after games. Step two, ask him to banish such thoughts from his mind by replacing them with what's called positive self-talk, such as, I'm a great putter. Stay patient. Step three, ask him to list his positive qualities and offer to add the list that you created. He could also list his positive sports experience. Let's say he played with all his heart one day and it felt really great. What was he thinking that day that allowed him to play that way? Step four, encourage him to hold these positive thoughts and feelings in his mind when he's performing, practicing, or thinking about sports. When negative self-talk creeps into his mind, especially after mistakes, ask him to replace it with positive self-talk. He might tell himself he's physically fit, coachable, or possess some of the other positive qualities he identified previously. Remember, be careful about what you say after a game or practice. He might adopt some of your negative statements as his own negative internal chatter. He needs to keep the chatter positive.
How can you help kids visualize success?
Visualizing success can be a powerful confidence booster for young athletes. To do this, young athletes use their imagination to create a mental picture of a positive performance or game. This could be a performance or experience they'd like to achieve or one they've already experienced. For example, just before a basketball player comes off the bench to play, he might imagine feeling the ball in his hands, dribbling down the court, and passing successfully to an opponent. Here's another example. Just before a swimmer dives off the starting blocks into the water, she might create a picture of her mind of a smooth, powerful stroke. Athletes can also use their imaginations to bring past positive experiences to mind. Let's say your athlete felt great about making two assists in soccer. Remind her to imagine that positive experience in her mind. We often encourage athletes to think back to a time when they felt extremely confident after scoring a goal, hitting an excellent shot, or playing well on defense, for example. We ask, what did it feel like when you were feeling really confident? Keep in mind that some athletes prefer to see positive performances in their mind, while other athletes prefer to feel successful performance. It just depends on their dominant style of learning and performing. Ask your athlete to recall these positive thoughts, feelings, and emotions and actions before her next performance. Your child can then take responsibility for her feelings of confidence before games or competition begins. We call this being more proactive with confidence instead of reactive. You can help your young athletes by encouraging them to visualize success.
Why do pregame pep talks from parents backfire?
Pregame pep talks or encouragement from parents aren't very successful in helping young athletes succeed. Often, parents have the best intentions when they give their kids pep talks. They might say something like, "You're the most talented player out there. Go for it." Or, "I want you to score 3 goals today. You can do it." Or you might say, "Remember all the great pointers about free throws that the coach gave you. Get your stance right, make sure your head's in the right position, etc." As we've discussed previously, telling young athletes they could score 3 goals or achieve some other target often imposes expectations on them. Young athletes can take on these expectations as their own. When they adopt your expectations, they might feel really bad about themselves if they don't meet them. They might also feel like they let you down. They might start calling themselves names. "I'm a terrible player." Or they might get frustrated. "I'm never going to be able to make a 3-pointer today." Either way, you're inadvertently creating high expectations with the potential to sink your child's confidence when you probably intended to just build up their confidence. When you give your young athletes very specific and technical instructions before a game, you're likely filling their heads with details they don't need to be thinking about at that moment. Practice, yes, but game time, no. If you tell them how to stand, how their feet should be positioned, where their head should be, and where they should be situated on the field before they shoot a goal, it's too much information. It's all covered in practice, and it might not jive with what the coach wants your athlete to think about. If athletes' heads are full of technical instructions, they're likely to freeze up and play tentatively. Instead, kids need to feel confident enough to play intuitively and freely. Less information is often better before a game. Athletes must be free to react in a game situation and trust what they have learned in practice. That way, they'll take risks, play freely, and feel more confident. Try to avoid those pregame pep talks. What's the most important thing that you can provide for them before a game? Have fun out there.
And how do parents affect sports kids' confidence?
Parents have a profound effect on their young athletes' confidence. We know that. When parents place expectations on young athletes, even with words as well-meaning as "go out there and score 3 goals today," kids can take these expectations on as their own. If they don't achieve them, their confidence will likely be hurt. They also might even feel like they're letting you down. In addition, when parents have goals for kids that are different than the kids' goals, it can hurt the athlete's enjoyment, confidence, and success. For example, some parents hope their athletes will earn college scholarships through sports, but their young athletes simply want to play to have fun with their friends. Pressuring kids to play harder, score more often, and rack up wins because you want your kids to earn scholarships rarely helps build kids' confidence. It's just the opposite. Your young athletes will focus too much on achievement and striving to meet your expectations. Overly enthusiastic parents can also affect kids' view of sports. When parents yell too much from the sidelines, argue with refs, or correct coaches, young athletes often feel embarrassed. This undermines their enjoyment of sports. It's also critical to focus on the positives after a game. A positive attitude on your part will help build and maintain your young athlete's confidence. Too often, well-meaning sports parents and coaches, eager to help kids improve, focus too much on the mistakes young athletes make. They often do this during the drive home after the game. They might say, "I can't believe you missed the shot at the buzzer." Or, "Did you know that if you had passed to Johnny during the last minute of the quarter, it would have been an assist for sure. He was wide open. Another possible comment. Your stance was really out of whack today. You need to bend those knees. Focusing on your kids' mistakes, especially right after a game, is a surefire way to sink your young athlete's confidence. They don't need to hear about their terrible stance, bad court vision, or the stupid way they tripped during the third quarter. If you focus on such negatives, they'll likely start to focus on them too. That can lead to negative self-talk and thus low confidence. Instead of concentrating on what your athletes did wrong, you need to keep your post-game or post-performance comments brief and positive. If your young athletes didn't score, surely you can find positive things to say about their performance. Perhaps they were great team players. Perhaps they looked like they were having fun. Maybe their passes were always right on. Pointing out such positive highlights will help boost your young athletes' confidence and help them realize their potential. In addition to focusing on the positives, parents should be careful about what they say about the coaches' techniques. It's not helpful to tell young athletes that their coaches aren't good at what they do. It's not a good idea to say something like, "Why did he put Rachel in during the fourth quarter when you would have done much better?" Such statements undermine kids' confidence and trust in their coaches. In order to perform well, they need to trust and believe in their coaches.
What you can do right now to boost kids' confidence. We know that...
Well, that's been the insight we received from Dr. Patrick Cohen and his wife, Lisa Cohen. Once again, the Parents Coach and Parent Network welcomes all comments and ideals and thoughts like that. Anything that we can do to help you. Our mission is your success. We always say that here on the Parents Coach and Parent Network. Get a chance to visit us on our Facebook page at Parents Coaching Parents Network. Facebook page, Parents Coaching Parents Network. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at PCP Network. Follow us on Twitter at PCP Network. It's been a wonderful and great show. Hopefully, family, you have got some good information from this show. And looking forward to our next show. This is M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network. We out of here. You have a good day.